702. Change your mindset.
Michael Lee is my guest. He is a creativity expert and a TEDx speaker. And we're going to be talking about creativity, the genderized version. Yeah. Michael, good evening to you. And thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hello, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm good, man. Are you well?
I am. I'm very well today.
Great stuff. Why are we talking about creativity and the sexes, Mike?
Well, it was International Women's Day last week, and I decided to start asking people what they thought about the issue of women and creativity, and started getting some interesting responses. Some people thought it was a stupid question. Others, you know, some women said, I actually found, you know, about 90% of people just wanted to say, no, there's no difference, right? There's no difference between women and men. Most men either said that or they would say, no, no, my wife is definitely more creative than me, right? That's the thing that they kept saying. But a few women did also say that, things like empathy, right?
Yeah.
The ability to pay attention, the ability to collaborate started to come up as some points around how women are differently creative than men. And the reason I was, you know, it's just kind of a provocative question, really, just to say, like, is there a difference, right?
Yeah.
And there's actually been a lot of studies around this. There's a woman named, kind of a weird name, Snehal Hora. She works out of the U.S. and she did a study of 250 studies.
She did a study of 250 studies.
Yeah, she studied the studies of 250 studies.
Right.
And which means there's, you know, there were 250 studies she could find about men versus women in creativity. So some people seem to be interested in the issue, right? And what she found is that historically, it's found consistently that men are more creative.
It's found consistently that men are more creative.
Well, consistently, that's what was found in these studies.
Yes.
What Dr. Hora discovered looking at the studies was that, number one, the greatest gap between men and women came in very traditional work cultures, right?
Yeah.
Where things like assertiveness, being sensitive to criticism, you know, patriarchal structures were very strong. And women tended in those environments to even rate themselves as less creative.
Wow. What are we talking about, I suppose, when we're talking about creativity? I suppose people are probably wondering, okay, even as we start this conversation, while we are in this comparative mode, what are we comparing? What is creativity specifically?
Well, yeah, there's like as many definitions as there are people. I think there's, you know, the sort of standard historical definition of creativity is that it's something that generates original ideas or something that creates value or, you know, useful and unique or useful and original ideas. There's usually things around that is the definition of creativity. As you might remember from previous conversations, I define creativity a little differently. I define it as thinking differently from yourself. You know, there's the old Apple slogan, think different, but it's not just think different from others, but from yourself. You know, be able to be flexible and adaptable to what the situation demands, right? And that's the definition I use.
Sure.
Because it's great to be able to think differently than someone else, but if you always think the same way yourself, it's not very creative, you know?
I suppose we'd also need to think about, you know, which women wear. In other words, in societies where patriarchy is still very strong, where you know, women are not as free to be as expressive as they would like to, because of that, would that be a factor as to whether they are more creative or not? Or are we talking about you know, women in similar sort of environments, and where would that creativity be seen in order for us to be able to say that, well, this is an exhibition of greater creativity and this is less?
It's the exactly perfect question, Aubrey. And by the way, I just want to throw out there that this would be a perfect evening for people to call in. I really would love to hear some people's thoughts on this. But the study that Hora did, right, exactly showed that the problem was historically these environments are very masculine environments. The environments that she found in the study that fostered more feminine environments boosted the creativity of women a lot, right? Things that show, you know, more respect for kindness, equality, concern for others, collaboration,
yeah,
the kind of things that women are just better at than we are. You know, overall, obviously we're speaking on average, right? Of course, there are some men that are very, that have that energy, and there are some women that don't, but on average,
yeah,
you know, it tends to be that way. And what was shocking though, I think, was that she found that not only did it boost the levels of women's creativity, but it also boosted the men's creativity to have that environment.
Yeah.
So what that means is that a feminine energy or a feminine environment seems to increase creativity for everybody.
Right.
So these, you know, these environments that are focusing on the sort of macho-ness of independence, daring, rebelliousness, you know, aggressive like efforts to do something differently, actually are not the best environment for creativity. It's more of a feminine environment that seems to increase. And that's why I've made the statement that I think women are more creative than men, because when you let women embrace their fully feminine side and don't control them in a situation where it's a patriarchal setup, then you end up with a better environment for everybody.
Give us a call, folks. 011-883-0702. Just off the bat, do you think that women are more creative than men? Do you think men are more creative than women? We haven't thoroughly qualified the question, but just off the bat, and I think that's where we would like to get the conversation to start, to a place where we would be interested to hear what sort of scenarios, modalities you would use to come to whatever conclusion you come to. And I suppose, Mike, that would be part of the creativity of the conversation itself, right?
Sure. Let's get some people on the line and let's get some creative thoughts. Just to answer another thing you said, Aubrey, there's very little, truly, you know, matriarchal societies in existence today, right? But you know, there's one that I looked at when I was writing this article for the Mail and Guardian last week on this question, which is, there's one called the Masuo in Southwest China.
Yep.
They are a matriarchal society, and they, you know, the women run the show there, and they don't exclude the men. The matriarchy does not become oppressive to the men.
Yep.
So the teamwork again is much stronger, and obviously the two energies, the masculine energy, the feminine energy, both are useful. And so what I'm seeing from the studies I've looked at is that the situations that allow both energies to emerge fully end up being much more productive and more creative. So it's not just that the women are more creative or not. It's also that, you know, we tend to, in our societies, mostly repress that energy and not value it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So give us a call, 011-883-0702. In which sort of scenarios do you think we'd be able to see the exhibition of creativity, Mike? In other words, would it be in a decision-making environment? Would it be in an environment where we are trying to create a new way of thinking about something? Where would we be able to see creativity in full display for us to be able to know that, yeah, here we're looking at some real creative juices flowing versus not?
Well, you know me, Aubrey. Every situation demands creativity, like from waking up in the morning and deciding what to eat for breakfast to, you know, inventing a new computer or using AI to solve problems that didn't exist before. So it decision-making, sure. Thinking differently to generate novel solutions to a problem. You know, in business, creativity's demanded more than ever, every single day. you know, new ways of doing things, new technologies. It's constantly in every aspect of our life. Just, you know, the thing is that historically, women have demonstrated creativity in more domestic ways, right?
Yeah.
In more personal ways. They've demonstrated creativity in that way because that's what they were allowed to do. There's another study from, there's a book called Remarkable Women that was written that about women and their creativity. And what it found was that women deliver value. You said creativity has a lot to do with delivering a sort of novel value. They deliver value across a lot more different variable ways than men do. And a lot of it is personal. And what she found in this book was interesting was that female artists, actual artists, right, which is obviously a place that you express creativity in any kind of art or you know, creative expression. She found that female artists with families tended to always prioritize their children ahead of their creative work, which then would have them not be as productive or as effective, whereas men, again, did not, right?
Yeah.
So women put relationships ahead of results. Generally, they put relationships first. And we as a society, again, as a patriarchal society, really diminish the value of relationships compared to, you know, big C creativity showing off with this big result we get.
Yeah.
So it's not just about creativity. There's a model of creativity called the four C's, which basically runs creativity from what's called the big C, which is like the stuff, you know, Apple computer coming up with the iPhone, and all the way down to the mini C, which is really like the idea of like deciding what you're going to eat for breakfast, you know, and all the different four C's are aspects of life that are equally creative, but we tend to see the big ones as the ones that are the ones that matter. But everything matters, right? All
sure.
of those creative choices matter.
So let me ask you, as you dial in on 011-883-0702, maybe the way that we generally perceive creativity is already rigged against this particular conversation. Maybe you could show us ways of seeing creativity in ways that perhaps are not conventional. So, for example, somebody could say, you know, the way by which women can stretch the rand, the very scarce mm-hmm. rand, in very, very impoverished situations is a form of creativity. But then somebody may say that the way that guys find ways of comforting each other in moments of grief within the context of a very patriarchal society is a form of creativity. In other words, the commiseration, the brotherly sort of, affection that we see that may not look so much like affection is a creative form of expression in a particular context. I'm stretching it here a little bit, Mike, but I'm trying to sort of level the playing fields of how we perceive creativity amongst the sexes. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Where have you watched creativity expressed and thought to yourself, that was pretty creative? And is it fair for us to be asking, are women more creative than men? Because somebody might say that, men are creative in different ways to women. Is that a cop-out? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that. 011-883-0702. I use that example, Mike, about how women can stretch the rand, the very, very, very scarce rand, because it's something that I really admire about women. I always make the example of a market out in Venda. As you drive into Toyando, Chris will remind me what it's called. But it's a market where it's like a 24-hour traditional fruit and veg market, right? Kind of what is it called, Chris? Chakuma. That's it. And it's been there for the longest time. I don't know how long it's been there for, but for the longest time, this market has been there. It's a 24-hour market. So it is something that comes from an era where the very idea of a 24-hour business running would have been strange. But this market has always been there. These women have raised, they've put generations of children through university just on selling fruits and veg. They've created very stable financial nest eggs, built beautiful homes on the basis of that. And for me, that has been a very, very powerful example of, I don't know, commercial creativity from these women. It's not unique, by the way, to that part of the world. If you go to Krobelersdal, you'll see similar things in these 24-hour markets. And for me, they are like a commercial oasis. They exude acumen, entrepreneurial acumen like you can't believe. And it's a generational thing. I mean, it's been happening for many, many years. And I think that it's a brilliant, brilliant example of the kind of creativity that we might be talking about.
Yeah, again, creativity applies to every corner of life. So when you're talking about, you know, a market like that, where they are coming up with different ways to deal with, business. There's a great quote from a Japanese businessman who says that business is the most creative act in the world ever. It's much more creative than art or anything else, because you're taking nothing and you're turning it into something that sustains itself, you know, hopefully permanently for a long time. And that's what they're doing there, right, in that market. They're looking for how, whatever way they can adapt to the situation to continue having it go on and not go out of business, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the circumstances are, maybe, you know, there's a lack of the supply is drying up or whatever, so they have to find a different product, or there's a lack of customers, the demand is drying up, so they have to do something different, you know, constantly needing to adapt to the situation.
Yeah.
So business is the place where you find the most creativity a lot of the time, because it demands continually growing. It demands continually dealing with the situation where otherwise we might be able to be complacent, right? So it's a great example you're giving there. And the thing that's funny, right, is that the kind of thing you've just said is what a lot of women I spoke to last week when I was researching this piece, that's what they said. You know, some of them said, like, the thing about using, I have literally a quote from a colleague of mine in New York who said, women are incubators and nurturers of many lives, using their creative powers daily to multiply little into enough for their families and still showing up as the stars they are. That's what she said, right? So it's that idea that, like, yeah, they're the backbone of the family, and that no matter what happens, they keep it stable, is a creative act as well, for sure.
Yeah. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. I'd like to hear of ways that men are creative. Right? Are there ways that men are creative that are perhaps not as readily perceivable? Yeah. But this is a male creative sort of streak. I'd be interested to hear from you on 011-883-0702 on Twitter or X. My apologies. Tabiso Masango says, does how our male brain is wired differently from the female brain affect our level of creativity, asks Tabiso. Says, just like the theory that the left-handed people are more creative because they use the right brain more. Mike, would you agree that left-handed people are more creative because they use the right brain more?
No, that's one of those myths that everybody believes, but there's actually nothing to do with the left brain and the right brain and creativity whatsoever. This is a bit of a scientific thing, but what matters most is the switching between the two sides of the brain. The ability to switch between the two sides of the brain as quickly as possible makes someone more creative, because they're able to use diverse areas of the brain. But the idea that the left side of the brain is less creative than the right side of the brain, therefore right-brained people are more creative, is actually completely not true. However, the idea that women and men do have different aspects to the way the brain functions is true, whether it's because of training in society or whether it's, you know, completely genetic, we don't have to decide that. Because in reality, in most people in the world, women have brains that are better at focusing on humans and not as good at spatial things. It's, they're better at language and not as good at math. It's just like a fact of study done, you know. And in those ways, we can look at a men's and women's brain. But, you know, the left-right thing, let's just leave that out for now because it's not true. But everybody believes it. Actually, I had a client who their logo was a brain where one side was creative and the other side wasn't. And they were very upset that I told them this because they had to change their logo. But yeah, women are different than men physically, right? I mean, here's the big thing, but let's not talk brains. Who creates life? Is it men or women, right? I mean, sure, Aubrey, we participate. We participate.
Yeah.
But we just kind of have like one glorious moment, right?
Glorious.
And then women do the hard part, which is developing the idea, right? We kind of help come up with the idea, but they develop the idea for 9 months. We have very little to do with that. I mean, we might drive to the shop and get some pickles or something, but you know, when you, there are physical differences between men and women, and 99% of human beings are one or the other, born that way. And you know, there are people that change, but 99, there's only about 1% of humans that are neither man nor woman. They're both or neither, or however you say it. So that difference does exist. And it does exist in the brain as well as the body. And the woman does carry, you know, the greatest creation. There's only two great creations that exist. One is a human being, right? Another human being that we create from these tiny gametes. And then the other great creation is ourselves, as personalities that we create. And men and women seem to do that kind of equally well, but certainly women's brains are different. And the difference is they definitely are better at focusing on relationships. They're better at focusing on listening. You know, they're better at collaborating and working together. And those are the kind of things that, especially today, are really important in creativity. You know, more and more and more collaboration is essential. You know, the idea of like a creative genius off by himself in a cabin somewhere inventing, you know, Tesla or something who doesn't relate to people at all, it's rarer and rarer. What's more and more important is the ability to work together to create, right?
I mean, you,
and that's, again, why you, that thesis that maybe women are better.
Yeah. You speak of the development of the human being in the woman's womb as creativity? Is that not just a biological process?
Well, I mean, it's a metaphor, but it, you know, in the creative process, creative problem solving, there's four steps, right?
Yeah.
And the most difficult step is development, right? There's the preparatory step, the step of developing the, or, you know, coming up with the question you're asking and figuring that out. And then there's the ideation step, which everybody's focusing on as the big deal. But development is the hard part. Actually going from the idea to a usable prototype, right? To a usable, taking the idea from an idea into reality, development. That's the hardest part of the process. And that's what's happening in the womb, developing it from an idea to a thing. Now, yeah, we could say the woman it just happens automatically. But the point is, she's the one doing it, not us men, right? We can't do that, except Arnold Schwarzenegger in one movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's take a call from Cebu in Turfantine. Hi, Cebu.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Hey, man. You know, I've always been amazed by women for a very long time. And I think, I don't know whether should I call creativity or what, but I've always been amazed by women, how in the 60s and the 70s, they used to earn so little money, you know, working at factories, long hours. And they would be able with that little money to keep the fire burning at home.
Yeah.
Send children to school, boarding schools, make sure there's bread daily. And I would ask myself, how do they do it? I mean, really. And you'd find that men those days were earning even more than women. But men on Mondays, they don't even have money for transport. Money for bus coupons and all that. They would depend on their women to give them money for transport.
Yeah.
And I would look at them and say, but how do they do it? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I remember having a conversation with Professor Somadota Fikeni, who pointed something very interesting. You know, we in the traditional setting, if there's a wedding, there's no list that goes out and says so many people can come.
Yes.
And so nobody knows how many people are coming.
Yes.
Right? But have you noticed that in those traditional settings, people will eat?
Exactly. What is spot on? How do they measure everything?
Absolutely. And people will eat a lot. So it's a very interesting thing to watch how they are able to create abundance out of very, very little.
Out of nothing.
Yeah. So it's a very, very, very interesting observation, Sibu. Let's hear what others have to say. Much appreciated. And then, of course, Victor in Lanesia. Hi, Victor.
Hello, Mr. Hobbs. How are you?
I'm very good, Victor. What's on your mind, sir?
I'm okay. Very well. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Mr. Humphrey Masango, I would support the other Masango who just called now.
Masango. Yeah?
What's his name? Yeah, I don't know. Tabiso Masango, yeah.
Oh, Tabiso Masango is on Twitter, yeah. On X, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, you understand, Brah. Whatever I was saying makes a lot of sense. Whereby you were saying the person who's using a left foot and the other one is using a right foot can maybe balance from the right brain and what. I'm not gonna go deep into that because I'm not an expert of that.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is there are people who can do it both. For instance, there are people who play soccer, right?
Yeah.
Those people can use both feet.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So meaning to say those people can do it both. But in real life, what I can say, women have got their own ability of saying, you know, you've got your own wife. You know, there are strength of hers. There are strength of yours on the other side, right?
Mm.
As a man.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is at the end of the day, we were created in a different way whereby we cannot point at each other and say, yeah, this one is right, this one is wrong, this one is wrong, this one is right.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, my point is, we got our own abilities in a different way.
Yeah.
So that is only my comment. Thank you very much,
Victor in Lanesia, much appreciated. What do you have to say about that, Mike?
What I have to say about that is, where's the women? Why are the women calling? That's what I want to hear. I want to hear the women calling.
Maybe that's part of their creativity. You know, that they look at this conversation and they're thinking, we want to hear what the men have to say about this. But here's a thought.
Maybe.
Here's a thought that I'd like to throw at you. And it's just occurred to me now as we talking about it. In a society where there are certain norms, where there are certain beliefs, where there are certain customs, the person perhaps who is not a typical participant in that particular society. So, for example, in a heteronormous sort of environment, a gay person would probably have to find more creative ways of being in a society that way than a heterosexual person. in a patriarchal environment, I would imagine that a woman would have to find more creative ways of being, of showing up, of being expressed than a man would be. Because the normalcy leans on the side of the man. The normalcy leans on the side of the heterosexual person in terms of that situation. Could it be that the more difficult, the more difficult it is to be in a particular environment may call for deeper delving into oneself to find creative ways of showing up?
Yeah, that's absolutely on point. There's two things there, actually, right? The first is, Jack Ma wrote an article in the New York Times, and this isn't about women, but he wrote an article in the New York Times a couple of years ago saying that Africa is the future of innovation. He said this because he was at some markets in Uganda or somewhere, I think. And he came across the fact that people, when they don't have resources, are forced to come up with different ways of doing things, right? You have William Kakwamba, who made the windmill in Malawi, in his own village because he couldn't get electricity. So he had to build a windmill by going to the library and reading how to build a windmill, and he built one out of junk. It's quite a famous story. And that idea that when there's a lack of resources, we have to adapt and come up with different ways of doing things. It definitely applies to what you're saying as well. When you're repressed or put into a situation where you can't just be the way that everybody is, you have to be different. You have to find a different way of expressing yourself. Absolutely. There's a second part to that, though,
yep,
which is that there was a study done over 50 years at Mills University in the States, and what they found was that women who were, trying to be creative were suppressed because they had to spend more time on traditional roles. They had to spend time as a wife and mother. They had to spend time doing those things that women did in the 1950s and 60s in America, and that's that repressed their ability to be creative and express themselves in really any way because they were just too busy doing the things that they had to do, which were very basic things, but very important things. But what they found was that when the communities supported them to be creative, even while doing those same things, they would then be creative in more, expressive ways, doing art or being creative in business or in those things. So it's kind of a double-edged question that you're asking, because on the one hand, yes, I think it definitely, right? If somebody has said you can't be, you are not like us, and we're telling you that you're different and that's wrong or that you can't be that way, in one sense, sometimes that suppresses things and they don't come out and be creative at all. But sometimes that does force some people to come up with ways of expressing themselves or doing things in a way that's different because they can't do it the way that the mainstream does it, right? But what they found in that study, what's interesting is when the mainstream supports that, then the people can then express themselves in a different way, but do it freely.
Audacity to Win on the WhatsApp line says, hi, men have always been creative. The grammar here is a little difficult. It says, men go a create by making money for the women to feed them at home. Women and men can be creative in their own way, says Audacity. Now, let's speak to Thomas in Motsoaledi in the Northwest. Hey, bro, Tom. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, bro.
There you go. Are you well, bro, Tom?
Good. Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. And
go
yourself?
For it. I'm good. I'm very good, thanks. What's on your mind, bro, Thomas?
Yeah, I've been listening to this topic. My take is that it's a very complex topic, although very important.
Yeah.
Now, I think it needs a psychological perspective, which will look at the cognitive level of different genders, both men and women.
Yeah.
And also, it also entails sociology, because we are all socialized human beings. The other perspective is societal expectations on the role of women and the role of men. It touches or should not exclude the context. And I thank you for always emphasizing the context. In other words, where do we see context where women are depicted as more creative, you know? Mm. Now, women are expected to multitask, as we all know, to cook, to clean the house, to wash clothes, to iron them. The other perspective to the topic would be maybe anthropology, which, you know, sociology, psychology, and anthropology, they are related. Yeah. You know, they complement one another. The other thing is that a man marries a wife, and then a man pays a lobola, you know? Mm. And then now there are expectations, you know, from this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are expectations that because she is married, she's expected to do a lot of things, you know? By knowing that I have married, you know, we tend to relax because we know that there is a CEO in the house, you know. So my take is that I stand to be corrected. My take is that both men and women are creative. It is just that because of the way we are socialized, because of matrimony, we relax, you know. We've got loved ones who will take care of the children and us, you know. And there are expectations that as a father, I must provide for my family. I must protect them. I must give money. I must ensure that there is a shelter, you know. And women, we will take care of other chores.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's my bite, Bra Ops.
Thomas, thanks very much for a valuable bite as always. You asked the question earlier on, Mike, about where are the women? Yeah? Why are the women not participating in this conversation? Why?
Like, why are these men talking about us? It's
yeah.
just a bunch of men talking about women.
Yeah. Why do you think they're not participating?
I don't know. I mean, it could be that they feel like, you know, let the men talk about it. But I, you know, when I did the article last week, I spoke to a lot of women. And like I said, I found that men were quiet about this. They didn't want to say, you know, that we're more or less creative. Women were willing to say it in some cases. And, you know, again, but what I think the most important conclusion to draw from all this is really this, which is that it's not so much about man, woman, as it is about female and male, or masculine and feminine, I think, from what I found at looking at the studies and talking to people and figuring out, is that there's a real great power in the feminine energy around creativity, right? And it's that feminine energy, as I've said it already, it's a lot about collaboration and cooperation and understanding and sensitivity and the ability to be present, you know, and less about the individual and about the rebellious nature and about like doing daring and bold things. And the problem, I think, is that because of the way our societies have been traditionally structured, and I think a couple of the calls kind of touched on that, is that we suppress that feminine energy and we, you know, maximize that masculine energy. And what we then end up with is a reduction in the creativity that's available to all of us, not just women or men. And there was one of the people I interviewed for the article, literally the day that I spoke to her, by the end of the day, she sent me a message she'd gotten from Brahma Kumaris, which is like a religious organization which does a lot of communication. They sent a message that said, creativity comes when the intellect is humble, because humility is a form of love. It brings newness in everything that is done.
Mm.
And I think that's the thing that gets left out when we're too masculine about things, is that humility. And the humility that comes with creativity is that, you know, a lot of creativity emerges. It comes from not trying to do something, but allowing it to come on its own.
Yeah.
You know, great ideas come by themselves. They don't come from us coming up with them. And You know, so when they talk about humility is a form of love, that's the other element, right? That women are, I think, a little better at than us, is that kind of emotional connection. And the question I would ask, you know, and if we can get at least one woman to come and call in before we finish, it would be great. But is what would it be like if we supported women to be completely free and creative in their creative genius without any kind of sociological suppression? Because it's very clear, right? If you look at the records of society over the years, there's very few women who are famously creative, who, you know, Marie Curie or Maya Angelou or people that we know as creative, great creatives. It, more and more as we get into the more modern day, but it's very clear that society has suppressed that for many reasons. And what's also very clear is that the more the feminine energy comes in, and great male creators were often very, very connected to their feminine energies, you know, and that's always been the case, because the really great creators need to have both sides of those energies. And what would the, you know, the question I'm asking is, what would it be like if we not only supported women to be free and completely open in their own creative genius? What would happen if men, Aubrey, like ourselves, embraced our feminine side more and, you know, maximized that kind of sacred feminine energy?
What would that look like?
Well, that would look like what I just described, right? Being more humble, being more connected to emotions, being more able to collaborate, listen to others, not try to assert ourselves as much. Be open to things coming from outside of us, or even from, you know, nowhere, just emerging rather than being forced, you know.
Tafara on the WhatsApp line says, creativity, as in any area, as with sporting ability, can only be fairly compared between the genders once enough exposure to the same area has been obtained by both sexes. For example, men with less exposure to cooking and in fewer numbers have proven to be more creative than women in that area. I'd say women are more creative in decorating things, says Farai. Oh, Farai. Benji says, hi, Aubrey. Why is it that when a prof tried to look at the colored women's ability to be novel in Stellenbosch, there was an uproar? Yet if it's men versus women, no one reacts, yet it is similar, says Benji. Is it similar, Benji? Is it? Maybe you give me a call and let's talk about it. Noni is in Johannesburg. Hi, Noni.
Noni!
Hi. Good evening, Aubrey and the guest.
Yeah.
I just want to say something about what Thomas from Motswedi said.
Yes.
That, like, amongst the things that he said, he mentioned that men pay lobola, like they marry women and expecting women to do the house, the traditional duties, chores, and the women, they tend to relax because they know the CEO will bring. He's talking as if women are not working. They don't contribute financially. Times have changed. Women, they do housework, but they still go to work and get paid. So I don't know what he means that they will relax knowing that the CEO will provide for them. Times have changed. It does not work like that anymore. Actually, what he said makes me very angry.
I might be talking out of turn, but I understood him to be saying that the reason why men don't show creativity is because they relax, because they've been sort of spoilt by that kind of matrimonial arrangement. I thought is what I understood, Noni. I might have gotten it wrong, but that's what I thought you were saying. Noni?
I don't know. I'm listening.
Come here.
Yep, go ahead, Mike.
I don't know.
No, I just want to know, because we... No, this is, it's because we've now got a woman on here. Noni, tell us, what is your conclusion? Do you think that women are more creative than men?
No, I'm not commenting about the creativity or anything of men or of women. I'm just saying that financial contribution in households, women also do their part.
And you understood Thomas to be saying women don't?
Yebo.
I see. All right. Maybe we should get him on to come and clarify. Honestly, I thought he was saying that part of the reason why men are not as creative as they could be is because they've lulled themselves into a comfort zone that comes from matrimony. And that is why men tend to be less creative, because of that traditional sort of matrimonial arrangement, is what I thought he was saying. But maybe he'll come back on and clarify himself, Noni. But thank you very much for your call. I would have wanted to hear a little bit more about your thoughts on the creativity conversation. But that's not what you wanted to talk about, Noni. All right. Yeah. Thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated. Mike?
I would love to hear that too. We still got a couple minutes. Any more women gonna give us one?
Neil says, utter nonsense. Men are miles more creative than women. For example.
There we go. That's
for example, he says, musicians, chefs, writers, chess players, mathematicians, surgeons, entrepreneurs, musical conductors and painters, says Neil. Jenny says, creativity is intelligence, having fun.
Einstein said that. But
yeah. Apparently, it is Einstein. A quote from Einstein, says Jenny. I think that it is a complicated conversation to have. The comparison between men and women, as far as creativity is concerned, can be filled with all sorts of acrimony. My sense is that there are different creativities for different environments, and that our creative juices flow of necessity in different circumstances and different contexts. I'm not sure whether it is a contest. I think that somebody said it in a sort of strangely different way than me, but I'm not sure whether it's a contest. I think that women are creative in one way and men might be creative in another way, and sometimes it's not necessarily comparable.
Mike? Well, I mean, obviously that's the nice thing to say.
Yep.
And you know, even ChatGPT objected to this question when I tried to get it to draw a picture for my posts on LinkedIn. It said that creating an image to depict why women are more creative than men introduces a challenge due to the subjective nature of creativity and its complexity, and that depicting one inherently more creative than the other would reinforce stereotypes, blah, blah, blah. That's what ChatGPT had to say. So it didn't even want to venture an opinion. But one thing I can tell you is,
But is that not an opinion?
Well, it's ChatGPT's opinion. Can ChatGPT have an opinion? I'm not sure. But the thing I can say is this. You know that what I do for a living is I train people and companies in expanding their creativity. When I was focused more on individuals, about 70% of my clients as coaches and entrepreneurs were women. Okay. And in my current work with companies, when I'm working with teams, it's obviously not 70% women because the teams aren't 70% women. But what I do find is that an even higher than 70% is the people who emerge in those groups and get excited about what we're doing in creativity training are women. So that my personal non-scientific, totally non-empirical experience is that women are far more interested in creativity than men. That's what I can say.
Mike Lee, thank you so much as always for joining us.